Welcome to the Hospital Readmissions Reduction Podcast, brought to you by Bessler Consulting. This is the podcast for hospital leaders seeking insights and strategies they need to help reduce readmissions at their organizations. I'm Mike Passanante, your host for this podcast. And today's topic, we're going to take a special deep dive on readmission reductions strategies. And as always, I'm joined today by Dr. Edward Nwodomski. Dr. Nwodomski has over 3 decades of experience in direct patient care and healthcare administration. He's the former Senior Vice President of Medical Affairs and Chief Medical Officer for a community acute care facility in New Jersey. Dr. Nwodomski, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Michael.
So there are so many factors that play into how a hospital can choose their approach to reducing readmissions. You know, you have patient population, measures under the HRRP, hospital resources, geographic constraints. How do you even start? How do you go about figuring out where to focus your efforts?
Well, I think the first and foremost, we have to start with the top and the organization leadership, both from the administrative leadership and medical staff leadership, need to champion the cause that readmission reduction is a priority within the organization. And once you identify that, then you will have complete buy-in from the balance of the organization and departments.
Well, that makes sense. So, you know, you begin to develop your focus. You've got the buy-in. How do you select strategies to employ? What are some of the ways a hospital can screen patients, for instance, who are likely to readmit?
Right, that's a very good question. And the Institute for Health Improvement clearly states that you need to identify those patients who are at high risk for an unplanned readmission within 30 days. Now, they don't say what tool you should use, but they recommend using something. One of the tools that's most widely studied, and we mentioned this earlier, and information is available on the Bessler website on how to utilize a tool, is called the LACE score. So once you identify that patient who has a high risk, what you need to do is you need to create a process where there is a mandatory referral for that patient, and that patient needs to avail themselves to any of all of the resources that the organization commits in readmission reduction strategies. And so the entire team needs to be aware of those patients who are at risk and therefore can end up with a positive outcome at the end of their hospital stay and into the discharge period.
Okay, so let's say you've figured out which patients you need to focus on, which conditions you want to focus on. What do you do specifically?
Right, and that's kind of a mixed bag. The literature has identified several strategies that have been well studied and have demonstrated some very good outcomes and results. I'd like to reference this one article in particular. This came out of Yale University and appeared in the Journal of Circulation. And although this study came out with recommendations and looked at a cohort of heart failure patients, the strategy that they propose can really apply to all the core measures. And again, as a reminder, our core measures are heart failure, acute myocardial infarction, pneumonia, COPD, and total hip and knee replacement. If you implement these strategies, you will have very good results in reducing your unplanned readmissions. And I'd like to delineate them. First and foremost, you need to partner with your physicians. Physicians play a critical role in the results as it relates to readmission reduction strategies. They provide care both in the acute care setting and in the outpatient setting, and having patients readily available to come back for follow-up visits and accessibility to their primary care physicians upon discharge is critical. No longer is it acceptable for a follow-up visit to occur 2 or 3 weeks post-discharge. We need to get those patients back into the primary care office within days of the discharge. Secondly, it's been identified that collaborating with local facilities to develop consistent readmission reduction strategies. A lot of our patients may not go home. They may go for rehab or to a SNF facility. We need to have very good relationships and communications between the organizations so that continuity of care can be established and readmissions be mitigated. A third item that they identified is assigning a nurse for medication reconciliation and medication plans. among the various caregivers, it was identified that the nurse is best equipped to provide insight for the patient into their medications, why they're taking certain medications, what each medication is used to treat, the dosage, the frequency and such, and looking for complications of their medications. The fourth item was scheduling follow-up appointments for patients in the pre-discharge period. For example, while a patient is in the hospital, we will have studies that may not be warranted to have done during the episode of care, but upon discharge, we want the patient to come back. It's no longer acceptable to leave the patient on their own to with a 1-800 number to call back to the hospital or try to make their arrangements for, say, a follow-up MRI or laboratory study. We need to have a firm date and time for those patients to come back and say, on Tuesday at 10:30, you will come back to the hospital and have your follow-up CAT scan or MRI. In addition, as it relates to the post-discharge period, test results that were not available prior to the patient's discharge need to be followed up on. We see length of stays being compressed where years ago they used to be measured in 7, 10, 12 days. The average length of stay across the country is measured in about 4 to 4.5 days. So the acute episode of care is being compressed into that 3 to 4 day period. So we may not get all the results back prior to the patient being discharged. If a patient is discharged and a result comes back, we need to make sure we follow up with that patient. And I'm not just talking about a critical care or a critical item like a potassium of 1.2 or a hemoglobin of 4. I'm talking about a data point that may be trending towards a concerned level or out of range. And so if we have the ability to follow up with that patient, let them know that their potassium is starting to run a little low and get them back on potassium supplementation earlier, this may avoid an unplanned readmission. And lastly, the sixth strategy that this Yale study identified is identifying items and ways to share information with the attending physicians. A lot of times the attending physician in the outpatient setting will not be the physician taking care of the patient in the inpatient setting. Usually the doctors are focused on outpatient. They relegate the care of their patients in the inpatient setting to hospitalists. And so upon discharge in the follow-up visit, it's important to have the information that what has transpired during that episode of care, meaning discharge summaries, medication lists, consultants reports, admission history and physicals, those type of things. That data, those reports need to be readily available to the patient's physician for that follow-up visit to make that visit most productive. I know that was a little long-winded, but those are six critical strategies that in one way, shape, or form you need to incorporate into any strategy you have to be effective in reducing readmissions.
Yeah. No, it's great information, and it makes complete sense. One of the things that I wanted to drill in a little bit more into are discharge treatment plans. Now, you've alluded to some of that coming out of the study. You know, what I would really like to share with our listeners is, what are some of the pitfalls? You know, what are some of the things that can go wrong in the course of developing and deploying a discharge plan that you know could have the potential to bring a patient back to the hospital?
And that's a great point. I mean, it's great to have great ideas and great plans. It's the execution of those that really makes a difference and proves for a good outcome. We need to be very aware of the patient's ability to access and actually execute the plan. And what I mean by that, if a patient doesn't have access to get back to a facility for a follow-up chest X-ray or CT scan, access to transportation, access to making that appointment, those type of things, that patient may not get the care that's needed. Access to their medications. We can write all the prescriptions all day long. If the patient doesn't have a means to pick up their prescriptions at the pharmacy or to actually pay for that medication, they may never get it. The ability to monitor their well-being at home. We always tell the patient, you be aware, especially our heart failure patients, if you are gaining weight, make sure you let someone know that so we can instruct you to take and watch your sodium intake, watch your fluid intake. Maybe you may need an extra dose of a diuretic throughout the day. But if a patient doesn't have a scale they can't monitor their weight.
Right.
So we don't ask that question. We tell the patient, weigh yourself daily. But if they don't have a scale, they can't do that. And the patients are a little reluctant to say, well, I don't have a scale, because sometimes they're not as forthcoming for various reasons of what they can, what they have at home. And so we may miss an opportunity to make an important intervention for a patient.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, you've gotten the buy-in from leadership. We've implemented a program. The patients are leaving the hospital. We think the program's working. How does a hospital go about measuring the impact?
Yeah, we've been in various hospitals and talking about readmissions. And one of the things that we picked up very quickly is that hospitals are committing resources, both personnel, dollars. They're throwing a lot of time and energy towards readmission reduction strategies. But when it comes back and you ask the question, how can you validate or can you validate any results, it's not so clear that they can, despite the fact that they spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in implementing these strategies. So what's needed is really a good, fluid and manageable analytic tool that will help you monitor the results of your readmission reduction strategies, looking not only what happens during the inpatient stay, but most importantly, what's happening in the post-discharge era, and then able to capture those patients when they come in and going back and looking at where the system failed, where their readmission reduction strategies were not successful. So having a good database to helping the team manage their strategies and validate outcomes is paramount.
So, you know, readmission reduction strategies, they're not short-term engagements or programs, let's face it. Over the long term, how do you keep hospital leadership engaged, whether you're a member of that hospital leadership or you're on a team or a committee that's responsible for reducing readmissions? How do you keep the leadership on for the long haul?
Yeah, I think by starting, you need to have, first of all, as you spoke about, the buy-in from leadership, both medical staff and hospital leadership. But you really need to embed it into the fabric of the day-to-day processes within the hospital. You had mentioned that readmission reduction strategies are long-term strategies, and you're spot on that. If you look at some of the strategies currently out there, for example, the BOOST program, Better Outcomes Through Optimizing Safe Transfers or Safe Transitions, those programs are year-long programs just to implement, and it really touches every piece of the organization. From the Society of Hospital Medicine, and they partnered with the Joint Commission on this in developing the BOOST program. This goes in, and it's really is a very intensive mentoring program that really changes every process that the patient is accessing, both in the inpatient, during the inpatient episode of care, and upon discharge. And once these things start to click along, and they are embedded in the fabric, they have a higher likelihood of longevity and a much, much higher likelihood of successes.
Well, certainly reducing readmissions is a key initiative for really any hospital in the country now, and I think you shed some light on how to go about forming a strategy and keeping the leadership engaged. So I certainly appreciate your time today, as I'm sure all of our listeners do. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
If your organization is struggling to develop meaningful readmission reduction strategies and measure your performance against Medicare's Hospital Readmissions Reduction Program, visit Bessler.com/readmissions. There you'll find videos, ebooks, and other resources to help you develop solutions that may limit your long-term exposure to Medicare penalties. That's Bessler.com/readmissions. I hope you've enjoyed today's show and will join us again for another edition of the Hospital Readmissions Reduction Podcast.